Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Too often bad things happen during a lame duck session, and this time it is no different. Here's a little bit of background. Back in November 2017, Paul Ryan rammed through H.R. 4174 2 days after introduction, and the House passed it by voice vote. The Foundations for Evidence-Based Policymaking Act was then sent to the Senate where, because of citizen outrage, it quietly sat until taken up on December 19, 2018, when the Senate passed an amended H.R. 4174. The House then passed the amended version on December 21, 2018. There was hardly any debate on the bill, and the House's December 21st vote was the only roll call vote. All other votes were simply voice votes, so there's no record as to how your congressman voted. But I will make a note here that Pennsylvania Congressman Scott Perry was the only Pennsylvania Republican to vote against the final bill. Lou Barletta and Bill Schuster did not vote. The bill now lies on President Trump's desk and must be vetoed. This is a bad bill, and that's what we're going to talk about, just how bad it is, because very few people are talking about it. My guest today is Dr. Karen Ephraim. She's a pediatrician and National Education Issues Chairman for Eagle Forum and President of Education Liberty Watch. Thanks, Dr. Ephraim, for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Diane.
Why do you think no one's talking about this? I mean, even conservative talk radio or conservative programming publications are not talking about this bill. I mean, it's like dead silence.
I think part of it is that they're focused on the shutdown and the border controversy.
I think that's the
big part of it. And I also think that, you know, their advertisers and, you know, anybody in the ed tech people who want this may be saying, don't talk about it.
Okay.
I can't be sure of that.
Right.
But that's a possibility.
Politicians introduced it. Paul Ryan introduced it. It was actually a bipartisan bill, I think. Wasn't it Paul Ryan and Murray?
Patty Murray.
Okay, introduced it. He, putting those two together, comes up with something bad every time, I think. But,
yep. You
know, he rammed it through, introduced it in November 2017. 2 days later, rammed it through. What is he saying the bill is? What did he say the bill would do?
He says it would make data collection and analysis more efficient and allow for better government decision making about funding for programs.
Okay, so he's touting it as a good program to be more efficient in government, which to me that's impossible anyway. But it's about data mining. That's
right. Basically
what it is. So he's touting it as that. He and Patty Murray are touting it as that. But what does it really do? What is the potential of this? If this bill becomes law, what can it do?
Well, it requires that every federal agency create an evidence-building plan or a data mining plan that must include a list of questions for which the agency intends to develop evidence to support policymaking. Which could basically mean they can ask, every agency can ask for every piece of data that they want to answer any question about information of individual free-born American citizens that they want. So they can, you know, decide that they want to analyze what people think or, you know, what they do, every bit of education data, and all of that. But the worst part of it is that it mandates the creation of a statistical agency in every single agency or bureau of the federal government and mandates that all of these statistical agencies share data with each other.
So however you answer those questions, it's going to go across every single government agency? Is that what you're...
Right.
Oh, right. So doesn't that, in essence, create a national database on every American?
It creates a de facto national database. they claim that there's no central database with a central repository of information, and technically they're correct, but if every agency has access to the data of every other agency, saying there's no national database or no central repository is just a rhetorical game.
Mm-hmm. So the agencies, the federal agencies, have to come up with a list of questions that anyone who's going to be benefited by their agency has to answer? Is that what it is, how it works?
They have to come up with a plan, and it has to be approved by the director of the Office of Management and Budget.
Okay.
And theoretically, if he thinks that the data is too sensitive or too confidential or too individual, maybe he'll say, no, we're not going to use that.
So is
but
that...
it's just one person, and there's no guidelines in the law about what is too private.
So there are no guidelines in the bill itself, and it's up to the office of OMB.
Right.
And that position is appointed, I'm thinking. Do they have to go through the confirmation process? I don't know. But anyway, that person, that can change. So
exactly.
It might be okay for a while, maybe, but it never is okay when they ask too many questions. But it could get much worse with someone else in that position of authority.
Exactly.
And there are no guidelines.
I mean, just look at what Barack Obama did to FERPA, to the federal privacy regulations. He basically went around the law and just changed it by regulatory fiat to make data available to researchers without parental consent.
Yeah, and kids would be, kids are already data mined for the time they walk into the schoolhouse door or preschool or whatever, nursery school or whatever. I mean, the government is keeping statistics on these kids, and now it's going to be even worse if this becomes law.
Exactly.
So isn't it something like 400 data points or something that Common Core mandates that schools collect on kids or something, some outrageous number?
Well, Common Core doesn't directly mandate that, but the statewide longitudinal databases and what's called the Common Core of Educational Data, which is not the same as the Common Core standards, has at least 400 data points.
Oh, wow.
But these tech companies that are providing software and equipment to schools can brag about collecting 5 to 10 million actionable data points per user per day.
Five to 10 million per day?
Yes.
Is that what you said? Per user?
That's what I said.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is in the hands of private technology, and if the government gets those because those technology companies are in the schools, then they're going to have an awful lot of data.
Oh, to say the least, as if they don't have enough. And
right.
I don't think most parents understand just how much data is being collected on their kids. And now this is being up. The ante is being up because they're expanding it beyond the schoolhouse to the average American if this bill becomes law, to where they're going to be. I mean, this is going to be part of the government's effort, I guess, to streamline their agencies to make them more efficient and supposedly to save taxpayer dollars. But they're collecting all this data on those taxpayers that will be shared across all agencies, government agencies.
Right. And they don't have the data that they have because they keep funding bad, inefficient, harmful programs all the time. Just look at Head Start.
Oh, yeah. But according to the government, it's a great program. You know.
Yeah. Well,
ignoring this statistics.
If you actually look at the government studies, I have a list of about 14 on our website, including a review of 600 studies back in the early 90s that show that Head Start doesn't work.
600 studies back in the early 90s that show that Head Start doesn't work? And it still doesn't work. I mean, that's...
And they've done more studies since then to show that it doesn't work.
Yeah. So...
That were under the Obama administration, and those studies get ignored.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just... Yeah, it's not just a Democratic administration. The Republican administrations tend to ignore studies that don't agree with what their goals are. And, you know, this whole thing with with Paul Ryan pushing through this bill and then the Senate taking it up in the lame duck session just a few days before Christmas and then passing the overall, you know, the overall bill finally being passed on one roll call vote. And just how much debate was there? Did the congressman actually, who voted on this actually understand what it would do? Was there any debate?
No.
No, okay.
No, they were told about the glories of statistical efficiency and evidence-based policymaking because it was law was based on the recommendations of the Foundations for Evidence-Based Policymaking Commission, which was a bill done a couple years earlier, also by Ryan and Murray. And they really never, ever, not in committee, not on the floor of either the House or the Senate, really the House was the only place where there was a little bit of debate, and they just said, oh, it will protect privacy.
Okay. Well, yeah. We know just how good the government is at protecting privacy. How many government computers have been hacked into? How many government agencies have been hacked into just in the last few years? Yeah, they're good at protecting privacy, and now they're wanting more data on Americans that can be hacked into. That's
right.
Pretty much it. So the groundwork was laid out for the ultimate passage of this bill several years ago. Then. I mean, prior to 2017 wasn't the first time this Foundation for Evidence-Based Policymaking Act came up. So the bill was passed a couple years ago to create a commission to supposedly study this. Okay, so the commission came back with their report, which agreed with what Paul Ryan was wanting to do, and then Ryan introduced a bill in October 2017 and pushed it through 2 days later.
Right.
One thing is I'm glad he's no longer in Congress. I'm no longer in the House. He has retired and gone back to Wisconsin, but a lot of damage has been done, and it's just mind-boggling how Congress will pass these bills, and many times without even reading the bills. I don't understand how they can do that, but they're supposed to be representing us, which they did for a while. You know, when there was outcry when Ryan got this thing pushed through in October 2017. It lay there quietly. It was sent to the Senate, but laid there quietly until we were all busy with Christmas 2018.
And it was after the election.
After the election. So they could do whatever they wanted in that lame duck session. And
correct.
Ryan was still there to talk to Mitch McConnell to get this thing through. It's my gut feeling.
Well, they pulled it out of the committee where it was sitting, and there was no committee hearing in the Senate. And I went and looked up the quote-unquote debate in the Senate on C-SPAN. They didn't say a word about the bill. They just said it passed the House and it's a good bill. And they didn't even have what they said was 40 minutes of debate. It was about 30 seconds.
30 seconds? Well, maybe they can't tell time either. Maybe they should go back to school and learn how to, you know, tell the difference between 30 seconds and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow. And I wonder just how many bills that happens to, that their Congress or the Senate says one thing, we debated for 40 minutes. Not that that's enough time to debate any bill, but it's actually just a few seconds that they debate it. So, you know, we're at a situation where it's passed. We have one roll call vote, and this will impact every American that deals in any way with any federal government agency. It will track individuals through most of their lives in the name of better information for the benefit of others. So they're saying that if we're going to track you and it's going to make the government more efficient so they can help more people. That's kind of what it is. And the kids who are in school are targets, as well as every American who interacts with a government agency. Is there anything that Americans, even if this were to become law, is there anything Americans could do to protect themselves, just stay away from the government? I mean, you know, it's crazy. I don't know whether another bill could be introduced and passed that would counter this, but
would be the hope.
Yeah, at this point,
that would be the hope.
Yeah, and at this point, it's not law. It's sitting on President Trump's desk. We can hope that he would veto it, but what is there anything that we can do now, as it sits on his desk?
We can contact him. Can send him an email. The White House phone comment line is shut down due to the shutdown.
Okay.
But you can email him at whitehouse.gov/contact.
Okay, whitehouse.gov/contact. whitehouse.gov/contact.
And there's a link there to email him.
Okay.
And the other thing that's really effective is Twitter.
Okay, he's good on Twitter all the time. So what's his Twitter handle?
He has two that work well. One is POTUS, POTUS.
Okay.
And the other is at Real Donald Trump.
Okay. Great. Okay, so at Real Donald Trump or POTUS, POTUS, are the two Twitter handles that you could use when I contact him.
One other thing, there is our friends at patriotjournalist.net have set up pre-done tweets at patriotjournalist.net.
Patriot Journalist, plural?
Yep.
Okay.
No, one.
Okay.
Singular.
Journalist.
Patriotjournalist.
Okay.
Dot net. And let me see.
Yeah, I did most of those. You had 50 tweets, pre-written tweets up there, and I did most of those. I've got three Twitter accounts, and I did most of those through those three accounts. Education Liberty Watch sent an alert out that has a link, direct link, to the patriotjournalist.net tweets, and I can include that on when we post the interview, and we can also include that. And another alert I'm going to send out today, we sent one out earlier, I think it was earlier this week, I think. We can send another one out with a link to the patriotjournalist.net tweets.
Awesome.
So we can do that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, with the shutdown, is that going to impact these bills becoming law, this particular bill becoming law? Do you know anything about timing as far as?
I don't know. Well, what I know is that the bill was presented to the president on January 2nd, and it will become law unless he actively vetoes it on January 12th, 10 days later.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if there's an extra day because the Constitution says Sundays aren't included.
Right, Sunday accepted, right.
I don't know how the shutdown affects it.
Okay.
But it can become law as early as tomorrow.
Okay.
Without his active veto.
Just let it lie there and become law. I would think with the Sunday accepted rule that there'd be two extra days there, but I don't know for sure.
I don't either, and we've been contacting our contacts in the White House, mm-hmm. and because things are so crazy, we're not getting the best.
Yeah, things are kind of crazy in the White House and D.C. in general, but it usually is, but it's even more crazy than normal. You guys, what's your website there, Education Liberty Watch? What's your website?
edlibertywatch.org.
Okay,
edlibertywatch.org.
.org. And, of course, there's information there about this, H.R. 4174,
correct.
I'm sure.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. So I do encourage our listeners to contact the president and ask him to veto H.R. 4174 either through the White House contact. That's whitehouse.gov/contact. You can use the form there. Or you can tweet the president at Real Donald Trump or at POTUS, P-O-T-U-S, and ask him to veto H.R. 4174. And visit Dr. Efron's website, edlibertywatch.org. You can get more information there also about this outrageous bill. Thanks so much, Dr. Efron, for being with us and taking the time to explain this outrageous bill. And just another example of why we must watch our legislators at every moment they're in Washington, D.C. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Diane.
Yep. Take care. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You bet.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.